this house this morning. Somebody some praise. Somebody send up some glory. Make it rain down in this house. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is doing good things. Hey, Brother Davin, would you come and just testify and fill us in on what went on with your family, with your uncle this week? God is a good God. Praise God. Come on up.
Praise the Lord, church. So, my uncle is terminally ill with cancer down to his last hours, and my mother and my sister and I resolved within ourselves to basically just go up there and see what we could do, and we went up there and told him about God, told him about the gospel, and we prayed him through to the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And he received the Holy Ghost pretty quickly. It was awesome, amazing. And then we began to try to work with the hospital to get him baptized. And, we were having a conversation before we went up there that, he could barely move his arms around. He could barely... just a whisper is all he could talk. His oxygen was the highest dose of oxygen that you can give somebody without going to a ventilator. And we were like, well, I don't know, how this would be possible, but let's just try. One of the comments that was said was that, we just believe that if he'll repent, I believe God will have mercy, And so we went up there, and God made a way all the way through this process. We got the chaplain involved, and he was able to work with multiple departments. It was this huge procession, half a mile of corridors walking through with all these, oxygen tanks and all these people. It was a big deal. They got a UAB reporter involved, and they wanted to report on the story. And we got in there, and they baptized him in Jesus' name upon our request. So there was probably 20, 25 people in the room when they baptized him, took him down. They had to get this lift to put him in the water. And, everybody in the whole place was moved. Everybody in there almost, I would say, was crying and shedding tears. So it was just right in the 11th hour. God just in his infinite mercy saved his soul. Right at the end.
Isn't God good? So I may be out of school here a little bit, but details of things like this really, really interest me. And about the time they were talking about baptism, because when you're in that setting, there's a lot of perhaps professional and wise counsel that would say, don't do that to this man. Don't get him up out of here. Don't put him in that water. And then the theological is all involved in that too. All that's not necessary. You don't have to, all of those things. But Davin's aunt, who has been witness to quite a bit, did something really unexpected. Walked in that room, saw him get the Holy Ghost, and she became an advocate for baptism in Jesus' name. That's how everybody in the Bible was baptized. She became, And she's not baptized in Jesus' name, and she doesn't have the Holy Ghost yet, but she's going to. She's going to have both of those. But God is so very merciful and so very good, and that is truly a last-minute situation that makes you think about the parable of the penny a day. And the fact that those that came in at the 11th hour got the same penny that those got that had to work all day long. And just an excellent thing to come into the kingdom whenever you come into the kingdom. And we appreciate the mercies and the goodness of God. So this morning, wonderful presence of God in the house. Great day to be alive in the kingdom of God. And this morning, let's read from Numbers chapter 17. And we'll spend some time here with this reading in Numbers. We've just come out of the rejection there at Kadesh Barnea and the bad response of Korah and his crowd. And judgment has been falling on these people. And God is going to try to give them something to remedy their attitude. In Numbers 17 and verse 5, "And it shall come to pass that the man's rod," they are all going to take their staff, and God's going to use the 12 tribes and the leaders and their staffs, their staves, and he's going to give them something to remember about authority and about the choosing of God. "That the man's rod whom I shall choose shall blossom, and I will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you." He's talking to Moses, and he says, "I'm going to do this, and I'm going to make them cease from their murmuring." Lord bless you. As you're seated this morning, let's give God praise and thanks and magnify him for his goodness and his grace and the word of God and the privilege to handle his word in the house. God, we thank you and we praise you and we worship you for the good word of God in our lives. Praise God. Praise God. It's good to see Sister D able to be in the house with her bum shoulder and recovering from all of that. Praise God. So the story here in Numbers 17 is something very familiar to people that are acquainted with the scripture. They have come to the promised land, and they have rejected the promise of God, and they do not go in, and they are consigned to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until all of that unbelieving generation will die off. And then We find them in those intervening chapters, chapter 15 and 16, and they are rebelling against God, and they are resistant to God, and God wants to give them something to remember him by and ask them to put a little blue fringe on the bottom of their robe. But people are very resistant to the details of living for God, and they resisted there, and Korah and about 250 others and their households are killed at the gate of the tabernacle, and Korah and Dathan and Abiram, their homes and families are swallowed up by the earth. It's a really dramatic setting, and you would think all of Israel would learn, but the day after they begin to murmur against Moses again and say, "You have killed the people of God." And God kills almost 15,000 of them that day. And so here at the beginning of the 17th chapter, I'm going to give them something. If they will respond to me, it will cause them to cease from their murmuring. So what God is going to do is something that is going to be effective with a believing, responsive, willing heart. So Israel, and especially in this generation, is extremely resistant to God. They're resistant to his goodness, to his miracles, to his faithfulness, and consequently they die in the wilderness. Murmuring and complaining, griping and moaning, those are symptomatic of unbelief. That is the voice of unbelief. When you find folks that are murmuring and complaining and griping and moaning, it's because they don't believe God has it all in control. It's because they, for whatever reason, believe that they have to voice their displeasure or voice their discontent. But it is it's antithetical to faith, because the voice of faith is praise. The voice of faith is worship. The voice of unbelief is murmuring and complaining. It doesn't matter what level of, and because all of this has to do with authority in this chapter, it doesn't matter at what level you're operating, unbelief is always voiced by complaining and griping and murmuring. So I know there's nobody in this house today, because you're all dressed up and you're here on a Sunday morning. I know nobody here murmurs or gripes or complains. So you might be wondering why I'd even mention it today, simply because it's wasted on you, because you are such a positive, uplifting, faithful person, and all that streams out of your mouth is goodness and hope and faith and light and sunshine. See, I know you, don't I? Yeah, you're just radiant in your testimony, and nothing evil ever comes out of your mouth. I know, but we're going to go through this anyway, because we're obliged to go through the whole of the Word of God, you know, so we have it to do. So you could take a nap or something productive. So here's a psalm, and I want you to help me with this. This is from the psalm, the 118th psalm, and a passage of it we use quite often here. But I want you to help me move into that. Would you say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good." Turn to your neighbor and say, "For he is good, because his mercy endureth forever." Let Israel now say, "That his mercy endureth forever." Let the house of Aaron now say, "That his mercy endureth forever." Let them now that fear the Lord say, "That his mercy endureth forever." I called upon the Lord in distress. Is there a witness in the house here? Somebody? I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me. Say that. And he set me in a large place. Come on. The Lord is on my side. Oh, you need to say that. The Lord is on my side. Touch somebody and say, "I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part." Oh, you need to shake somebody by you and say, "He's on my side. He takes my part." My God, we ought to stop just for a minute and give him some praise and thank him. Praise God. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Say that. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. The Lord is my strength and my song. No, you got to hear that. The Lord is what I sing about. I don't sing the blues anymore, and I don't sing with the voice of discontent, and I don't sing with the voice of doubt and fear, but I'm singing today. You got to find your voice, but the voice you need to find is your God-intended voice in the kingdom of God. The Lord's my strength and song, and has become my salvation. Say this: the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. You can tell when you're in the tabernacle of the righteous because the voice of strength and praise and salvation is resonating in that place. When you're in the house of the griper and the grumbler and the moaner and the complainer and the murmurer, you know you're not in the house of the righteous because those things don't coexist. David said, I called, he lifted me up out of a deep pit. He set my feet on a rock and established my goings. And he said, he's put a new song in my mouth, in my heart, even praise unto my God. Now, you may have been singing that old song in the world, and I understand, because we were all going to hell and life is bad in the world. So you sing the blues and you sing the negative and you sing the song of the cynic and the skeptic, but not now. Now we've come into the kingdom of God and we've got to leave those old Egyptian songs. That's why we don't sing worldly songs, because they don't know how to sing the praise and they don't know how to lift God up, and they don't understand that what comes out of my mouth lodges in my heart and directs my path. Like the rudder on a ship. We're about to get baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. I'll let you know. Coming down in the water in Jesus' name. Praise God. Isn't that neat? Gonna get baptized. Why don't you wait till after the service? Why wait? Why don't you wait till the end of the month and have a big deep dip baptizing for whoever is there? No, we want to get it done now. We want to get it done now. I want to tell you, when she goes down in the water in Jesus' name, the name of the one that died for her is going to be applied to her life. And when that name comes on her, Paul says, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So everything that comes with the Christ comes on her when she goes down in the water. The blood covers every sin. Everything she's ever been that's not like God is about to be washed away. Somebody say praise the Lord. She's going to be given the name that is above every name. So you got to come up soon. There she is. There she is. Praise God. Praise God. So when you find the house of the righteous, you find the voice of rejoicing and salvation. When you find the house of the righteous, you find the voice of singing and salvation. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Someone say, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Say that again. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. That's my job. I know some of these young preachers, my goodness, I heard it at the summit this week. I hear it when Brother Stephen preaches about how the old man's going to die. Not going to live forever. And I don't mean to be rebellious, but I stood right there aisle in that aisle and pointed to that preacher and said, yes, I am. That's the plan, isn't it? I'm going to live forever. May not live forever in this body right now, but I'm going to live forever. Somebody say praise the Lord. I shall not die. I shall not die. When Jesus told them that, they said, now we know you have a devil, because Abraham is dead and the prophets are dead. Moses is dead. Who are you? Who do you make yourself? But they didn't hear him on the spirit level. They didn't understand what he was saying. He said, if any man eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, he'll never taste death. He'll never die. I want you to know, death is not the laying down of this body. Death is going to hell without God. Death is separation from God. But once you're filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in his name and in the covenant of God, you can lay your body down and go right on in to where God is. Somebody say praise God. It's not an end, it's not a cessation of being, but it's a transition into better things. Verse 21, someone say, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and are become my salvation. And here's where we get into more familiar territory. The stone which the builders refused. Say that. It's become the headstone of the corner. It's become the foundation. It's become the thing that determines everything else. It's become the plane upon which everything else exists. And that's who Jesus is. He's the great cornerstone. And he was rejected by the builders, the Jews. But now he's become the head. He is that stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands in Daniel chapter 2 and struck the image of all the kingdoms of the earth at their feet. And they all came down and became dust, and that small stone began to grow, and it became a great mountain that filled all the earth. That is happening right now. This church is built upon that stone. Your life is built upon that stone. Your family all over the earth today, it's growing and it's growing. It's the greatest thing on the face of the earth. The stone that the builders refused has become the head of the corner. It's a paradoxical thing. This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Watch God work. Look at what God has done. And then we say what is an excellent thing for you to say every day of your life. Someone say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Tell somebody by you, I will rejoice. I will be glad. Tell them it's a function of will. It's a function of choice. I will not gripe. I will not complain. I will not murmur about the weather or about the government or about the taxes or about any other negative thing or about the boss or about my husband or about my wife or about... I will not, because when I do, I am in a position antithetical to the kingdom of God. I'm working against faith with my own mouth. You need to open up your mouth and build yourself up in your most holy faith. And I think it'll work for this too. Paul says, when we know not what to pray for as we ought, Romans chapter 8, the Spirit of God makes intercession for us. Praying things in the spirit that we can't even understand, that we are not capable of uttering. He's talking about praying in tongues. When you're stumped and you don't know what else to pray for, you just shift gears and you start praying in tongues. What's happening there? God is praying. God knows the business. God knows exactly what to do. He knows what I need. He knows everything about everything. And I just let him pray for a while when I don't know what to do. And when you're in a situation and all you can see is the negative and you don't know what to do, let me make you a suggestion. Shift gears and just start praying in tongues and let God pray about that situation. Let God prophesy about that situation. Let God speak over that. Now, if you're a guest here and you're unfamiliar with this conversation, it may be that you have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit according to Acts chapter 2, 8, 10, and 19, prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 28. And you need to know and to understand that when everybody in the Bible received the Holy Ghost, they all spoke in languages they did not understand. It was a dynamic, identifiable experience that everybody got and everybody knew, and Peter was there with them and they received the Holy Ghost, and all of the Jews that were with him were amazed that the Gentiles had received the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's how they knew. And so if you're not yet filled with the Holy Ghost, then you can't take the advice that I just gave you and let God begin to pray through you. Paul used it a lot. Paul said, I thank my God I speak in tongues more than all of you. That's a pretty bodacious statement. But I want you to understand it's a healthy thing and a necessary thing and a good thing and a wonderful thing and a thing anointed of God, and it is God's plan. And so the way you remedy your current situation is somewhere in this service. You stand where you are. You come down to the altar. It doesn't matter to God. You lift up your hands. You begin to love him and praise him and magnify him. Someone may gather with you, may lay hands on you according to the word of God. That's what happened in several instances. And God will fill you with the Holy Ghost here in this house today. And thereafter, you'll be able to pray in tongues every day. Every time you pray, you'll be able to talk in tongues. You can drive through this city talking in tongues. You say, well, what's happening there? Well, I'm talking in tongues. God's praying a prayer. God's praying maybe for this neighborhood. God's maybe praying for this business over here. God's speaking great things about this city, or God's proclaiming things about my life and about my family and how it's going to be. And what the devil says doesn't matter at all, because God's got another voice and God's got another idea, and God is saying it's going to be well. And so the psalmist is on board with it. And the psalmist said, I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. God is on my side. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. So that final verse, verse 24, this is the day the Lord has made. Every day is the day the Lord has made. And so we by will agree with God and rejoice and are glad. And they are both functions of will. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Once more, let's praise him. Let's magnify him. Praise God. And that's okay. That's okay. But you need to give him some high praise right now. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that current generation, the blue fringe didn't help them. And now this new thing is not going to be that productive in their life. What God told Moses, and he related to Israel, I want each tribe to produce the staff of the elder. We're going to write the name of the elder on the staff if it's not already there. And Aaron is going to represent the tribe of Levi, and his name will be on his staff. We're going to take them all, and I'm going to take them all into the holy place. And we're going to leave them in there overnight. And God said, the one that I caused to blossom, that's going to be the one that I have chosen. And he's talking about his chosen authority. And so in the morning they go, and all of these dead sticks are still dead sticks, except for Aaron's dead stick. And Aaron's dead stick has leaves and buds and flowers and fruit. It has almonds on it. It has every season of productivity. It is brought back to life. It is resurrected. It is clear for everyone to see. And as you read it, the people fold up and they acquiesce and they understand. Now, they do not stop murmuring. They are so, now here's the deal. They are so framed up and conditioned by their years of slavery in Egypt, they cannot, even with all the miracles and redemption, water from a rock, bread every morning, tower of God's presence among them, dead Pharaoh and dead Pharaoh's host, all the miracles in Egypt, they cannot quit murmuring. And it kills them. The New Testament writer says they died because of unbelief. God heard their voice, and it was the voice of unbelief. And I say they could not break away, but more correctly, I should say they would not break away, because you are never damaged in a way that you can't rise up and receive what God has planned for you. Because the Word of God says, you might be saying, not me, oh, not me. I'm hurt too badly. I was offended too badly. My life has been such a travesty. I'm that special person that can't live for God. But God said, whosoever will can come. The broken can come. The crushed can come. The disappointed can come. The abused can come. Everybody can come, but you've got to engage your will. The only thing stronger than all the mercy and the goodness and the power of God, it's not the devil. He's not strong enough. It's your will. And if you'll exercise will, nothing in hell can stop you from living for God. And if you don't, nothing in heaven is able to redeem you. But they don't turn and they don't change. But these stories, the writer says, were written for our ensamples, our examples. And so we can hear God's intent for them as we deal with this story. You know what God does with that rod of Aaron? He has Moses put it in the Holy of Holies, in the Ark of the Testament. So it's in there with the bowl of manna, the provision of God, and the Word of God etched in stone. And now Aaron's rod, the authority of God that fits a man's hand, that God resurrected from the dead to demonstrate his power, was in it and on it. And so God says, I want you to memorialize this. I want you to memorialize it, because even if these stinkers that are here today don't listen to it, somebody's going to. And so it's there memorialized by God. And when God builds a memorial, we need to take notice of it. And so some of the baseline associations that we can make here. God said, I'm going to demonstrate my recognized authority. The one that I choose, he said, I'm going to make it blossom. And so I want to suggest to you today that having a healthy relationship with authority will cause murmuring to cease. That's what our text said. He said, I'm going to give them something that'll shut down their murmuring. And it had to do with recognizing authority. And so I infer that if you have a revelation, or you have a relationship with authority, a proper, healthy relationship with authority, that it is a component of something that will stop you from murmuring. It will shut the mouth of your unbelief. And so quite often people with unbelief and people that murmur are not quick to come into alignment with authority. But the Word of God is confronting you today and telling you that one thing you need to do is you need to come in alignment with authority and develop a healthy relationship, and God will cause that authority to be fruitful in your life. Now, you may have had some dead, unproductive, unresponsive authority in your life before, but if you'll come into God's alignment of authority, God will cause something fruitful and productive to happen. And one of the things is, he said, I'll shut the mouth of the murmuring. I'll quiet the voice of unbelief in your life. Now, that's never going to go away. It'll always live somewhere back in the canyons of your brain, but you can shove it back there, like those old voices from your childhood when they told you all the negative things about yourself. But you got to shove by will, by force. Don't bring them out and celebrate them. Oh, this is what was said about me, and it's so terrible. I'm going to bring them out today, and I'm going to flagellate myself again. I'm awful. I'm terrible. Don't do that. You're an idiot. Don't do that. Shove that stuff back in there so deep it can't get out. It can't find its way out. And begin to talk about what God has said and how good God is. Somebody said, no, right here, right now, in this moment, somebody needs to shake yourself and shut your mouth and quit resurrecting things that don't need to live, and let God resurrect authority in your life. Because you can't serve God and you can't go to heaven without a healthy relationship with authority. If you're a kid, line up with daddy. If you're a wife, line up with husband. If you're a saint, line up with pastor. And if you're living for God, line up with the Word of God.
Don't make me qualify everything. I'm just telling you, if it's bad on the job, get in alignment like Daniel was in alignment with Nebuchadnezzar. If it's bad on the job, get in alignment with that boss and let God start working on it from the top. You can't change it, but I know somebody that can. Praise God. So the thing that's killing them in the wilderness is their unbelief. And it's their voice that is the voice of unbelief. So what you do is you find authority, vet authority, make sure that it's healthy authority for your life, then align yourself with it, and then relax in God's system. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. There's a whole lot of conversation to have out around the edges, but just stay with me right in the core of the thing. Because all the answers are there, and this is God's system, so it's a workable system. And everything works in the kingdom of God by alignment. You've got to find where the glory comes down and get under it. You got to find, and it's just not going to be raining all over in indiscriminate places. It's going to come in God's. He said, I want you to know this, 1 Corinthians 11. He said, I want you to know that God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of man, and man is the head of the woman. And I want all the women in bad situations right now, I want you to say amen. Ooh, that was terrible. That was terrible. If you don't have a husband in your life, you got a pastor in your life. But you got to have some authority in your life. And don't give me that, oh, I can do this without a man in my life. Listen to me. You better hear the word of God today. You've got to have it. It's about authority. You've got to have that in your life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I had a bad situation. I had a violent little angry man that ruled my life till I was 15. And when I stood at his graveside, I said, I never am going to come back under the thumb of a man again. And I'm not a woman. I said, I'm never going to come under the thumb of a man again like that. And God just kind of chuckled. I was 15 then. I was 20 when I prayed through the Holy Ghost. And I prayed through under an old school apostolic authoritarian. And I saw the word of God. And I had to come and bow my knee in an altar. And I had to submit to that little square white man with no sense of humor about any of this stuff. And I was a hippie, and I just want to tell you, it wasn't an easy thing. And I had all those angry little voices in the back, and I said, look at what God has done to me. And I had to, and I still revere that man, and I still love that man, and I still owe my soul to that man. But I could have turned and said, I've had one of those relationships before. I'm just going to have to live for God all by myself. Check out the landscape of all those that have died trying to do that. You're not going to live for God without authority in your life. You better find it, vet it, know that it's biblical, and then get in alignment with it, because you won't live for God. You won't actualize the promise of God without it. Praise God. I can't do a marriage retreat right now. We're going to have one, though, October 4, 5, and Family Sunday on October 6. Brother Blash will take care of everything. He will make you sound and whole again. All you crazy people, he's going to straighten you up. I'm going to tell him I said that. God brought fruit out of that dead stick. So God said, fruitfulness will cause murmuring to cease. Because murmuring is the voice of unbelief. Faith brings fruitfulness. Listen to me. If you're a griper and a complainer, you won't be fruitful in your children. You won't be fruitful in any area of ministry. And it'll generalize into the house of God and everything you're doing there. You'll be griping about everything that's going on. Yeah, it's just because it's your nature. And you hadn't been redeemed in that area. You got to get redemption down in there. And so fruitfulness, being fruitful. So how do I be fruitful? Find your place. Get planted in the field of God. Get planted. Yield yourself to the husbandman, to the gardener, to the one that has authority over that cultivated field. Give yourself to that place and into the hand of that husbandman. Now, he's going to take you and he's going to plant you. And he's going to put you in alignment. Have you ever seen a vineyard or an orchard? Straight rows, straight lines, diagonal, anywhere you stand, you see these wonderful straight lines. So when you come to live for God, you got to line up. And you got to get in line with everybody else in the house. You can't be all out of whack with everybody in the house. You got to line up. And then when you're small, he's going to stake you out. And he's going to tie you down so that you grow up straight. He's going to see a little quirk here, a little crook there, a little thing here. And he's going to tie you down and stake you out and make you nice and straight. And you're going to grow up nice and straight. And somebody will say, well, that's artificial. That's not really you. Oh, yeah, you give it a few years and he's going to cut those twines and you're still going to be straight. You're going to be just exactly like he configured you to be. You want to be fruitful in the house of God? Come in, get in alignment, let him plant you, let him grow you, let him, well, the biblical term is let him dig around you and dung around you, but we'll just call it fertilizer. Let him fertilize you, and when you start producing all your big, luscious leaves and everything, he's going to come by and go, and prune you off. And you're like, ow, yeah, oh, ah, oh, preacher, what are you doing to me? I'm going to make you fruitful. This is just a sucker out here. This is not going to produce anything. But I want to be involved in this. I want to go over here and do, no, don't do that. Don't get involved in this. But I want to play that. I want to be involved in it. Nope, you're going to prune that. Because we want you right in here. We want all the core nice and strong. And when it's time, you're going to blow up. You're going to be fruitful in the house of God. You're going to produce. But only if somebody loves you enough to prune you when you're acting stupid. Aaron's rod is a symbol of the resurrection power. And it's a symbol of Jesus Christ. A dead stick, all the other dead sticks stay dead, but that dead stick comes alive. And it's a symbol of resurrection. And the word of God said that he was resurrected, and there was a power of resurrection in the Holy Ghost. And I want you to know the inference here is that God is saying, this will cease them from their murmuring. Resurrection power will cause you to cease from your murmuring. You know what I see when I see a murmuring person? I see a person that does not pray. When I see a murmuring person, a griper and a complainer, oh, when I say that, I hear old Sister Elmina Parker singing to Sister Gomez, there won't be no gripers in heaven. They're riding on the same bus together. And one is a wonderful saint of God, and the other is a griper. She gripes about everything. But there won't be any gripers in heaven because you won't have anything to do there. They'll send you to hell and you'll have plenty to gripe about. So the resurrection power, when I hear somebody griping and murmuring and complaining all the time, I know that they don't have a depth of experience in the Spirit. When you mine that and build that and grow that experience in the Spirit, you're growing the resurrection power of God in your life. And when you do that, it changes your song. It changes your frequency. It causes you to think and to say good things and uplifting things and positive things and healing things. And when I hear that, I know the Holy Ghost is moving in there. But when I hear griping and moaning and complaining all the time, I know it's been a while since you prayed through. Well, I got the Holy Ghost 20 years ago, bless God. I know, it might be the last time you ever talked in tongues or the last time you prayed too. That's why you're so angry. That's why you're so mean-spirited. Come on, smile a little bit. It won't hurt you. Pray through it. It'll make you smile. He said it would do that. So when God picks up this dead stick and brings it to life as his rod of authority, a blessing comes to the people of God. I need to stop because it's getting late. So Sam or Lindsay or somebody come.
Inspire them. Lift their spirits.
He will. He can. But for the gripers, do you know that funeral dirge? Dun dun da dun dun da dun da dun da dun. Dum dum da dum, dum da dum. Now he doesn't know it. He's too full of the Holy Ghost to know that. We don't do funeral dirge no more. We believe the report of the Lord. We believe that God is alive and God is able and God is good and God has it all in the palm of his hand. Do you believe that this morning? I want to know, is there anybody here on the Lord's side? When you talk about that, it doesn't mean that you're just standing over on the side God's standing on. It means, is there anybody here that talks like God and thinks like God and agrees with God and supports what God is involved in? Somebody say amen. Praise God. When you get this rod of authority in your hand, it'll make a way where there is no way. It'll bring water into the desert. It'll give you bread to eat when there's no Kmart or Walmart anywhere in the neighborhood. I just want you to know the authority of God has the power to do all sorts of good things. Somebody say praise the Lord. There was a day on their way to the land of promise that they came through a bad neighborhood, and the people that lived there were going to fight them tooth and nail and not let them pass. And so Moses told Joshua, he said, I'm going to go up here on the mountain and I'm going to lift my staff out over that valley. And as long as I can keep my staff lifted up, we're going to win this battle. Well, before the day was over, Aaron and Hur had to come and lift up his old arms and keep them out straight so that the battle could be won. But I want you to know that staff has power in it. It's got power for provision. It's got power for victory. It's got power, resurrection power. It's got power to cause you to line up with God's purpose in your life. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Praise God. So right now, I want all the gripers and complainers to come on down. Thomas, you didn't understand me, but they're not going to come because they don't want to self-identify as a griper. Self-identify. That's a kind of a nice new term, isn't it? You need to self-identify as a born-again, rebuilt, standing firm child of God. That's how you need to self-identify. But if you're having a problem, you're getting too close to the water cooler and all the bad attitudes on the job, you need to come down here. And if your husband or your wife is making you murmur and grumble, and you're like an old dog with a bone in the backyard, you need to come. But don't come until everybody comes, because he or she'll know. But if you're having problems and you're spending too much time online and you're getting involved in all that political discourse, and you're griping about the government and about what all that's not and what it should be, you need to come down today, because you need to get liberated from all that makes you gripe, all that makes you complain. Let me tell you, the world's not going away. The politicians are not going away. The trouble in the world, and you may not even change your boss, but you need to change you. You need to come down and get an alignment with the Word of God and let God change your life. Come on, this altar's open right now. Come on. Somebody that doesn't have any griping in your life, come on and give them some cover. Hallelujah. Sing a song. They're not sure yet. That's very good. Come on, I need some prayer warriors in this altar, and I need some worshipers. Find somebody to stand with in your faith.
Praise His name, praise His name.